I was just describing the situation while 15 members of or activists of a campaign and a blocking of an airplane are now in a trial. This trial started almost 2 weeks ago. Could you please, in the start of our interview, describe the action that was blocking the deportation flight?
Yeah, sure. So firstly, the trial has been adjourned, which means it's been paused until later in the year. So that's the first thing that happened yesterday. But the action is still an important one to talk about. So it was last March that 15 activists walked peacefully onto a loading bay and chained themselves around the plane, which was a long way from leaving. It was just loading and they hadn't put any passengers on there yet. But then they lay there peacefully overnight so the plane could not move and prevented the plane leaving that evening. So that plane was a chartered flight. And I just did a bit of research before to check if you have the same system in Germany. And I think you do, which is that deported people can be sent on a commercial flight or they can be sent on a chartered special flight, which is only for deported people, and it goes in privacy from a private. That is what the flight was, and they were protesting against the violence on these flights and the violence of the UK's deportation regime, and they knew people on the flight, so they wanted to prevent that flight from going, and they did so.
Okay, with the result that there is a trial against them and they are declared reasons to charge them with a terrorism-related offence. What are these reasons?
Well, it's hard to know why the prosecution have gone with this charge, but basically when they took the action, they will have known there may have been consequences. The charge at first was aggravated trespass, effectively trespass, you know, but then the charge was increased to endangering an air or maritime space, which is a terror-related charge, which was introduced after a terrorism offence in the 1980s. And it's the first time it's been used, this offence. This charge has been used or brought to anyone since then. It's unclear why, but I think partly what the prosecution are trying to do is make an example to send a message about what kinds of things people can do in terms of protest and action, and perhaps to make an example of this group of people to scare people. But it's unclear why they've gone for this additional charge, and it seems ridiculous that this would be considered endangering anyone, because it was a very safe and peaceful action.
Mm-hmm. So terrorism is a huge thing. What sentence would they expect if the court would found them guilty?
If the court finds them guilty, again, it will be without precedent. So we don't know exactly what the judge would do. But if the jury found them guilty, I think there's a big range in the kind of sentence they could get. So, but it goes up to life. So the people could be up for life in prison, which in the UK is not like the US. It's not until you die, but you know, 15 years. So these charges are crazy, really, for the context of what happened.
Yeah, you said the trial itself is postponed later this year, so it's still really an open case. But interesting would be, what is the public debate about this case like?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's a difficult one. I'm sure the situation in Germany feels just as tense, which is that there's a lot of negative attention towards the issue of migration, and also, even if in smaller numbers, really amazing activism and organising around migrant rights and in solidarity with people who don't have citizenship or who are moving. So I think, it, like all times when migration emerges, it becomes a controversial issue. But I think that one of the things that can come from this is transparency around the UK's policies, because sure, there's a problem with convincing some people that migrants deserve basic human rights and dignity. But for a lot of people, they just don't know how the system works. They don't know there are chartered flights. They don't know people are deported when they have family in the UK or when they grew up here or when they have, you know, compelling asylum cases. So part of what's an opportunity now is to talk to people about what the system is really like, and hope that you can bring some people over to recognise that maybe it isn't working.
And regarding this case, so the trial, is there any public debate or publicity for the people who are going to court?
Well, I think one of the main things is that they can't speak to the media during the process. So I think they're trying to, I think everyone wants that to be respected and for them to be discreet while they get on with this quite stressful process. But in terms of publicity, there was less than I expected, actually. I think partly because other things happened. Cambridge Analytica happened. And so with the news cycle, it didn't come to the top of the news. And also because the case has now been adjourned, I think that the media pick up on it on the first day and there was reporting on it on the first day. Mm-hmm. And then nothing, it's kind of boring for a little bit. And then, the case starts to liven up and then there's a decision. So there's been a lot of shows of solidarity from leftist groups and migrant solidarity groups, but there hasn't been any sustained media attention, although I think it is on the radar of the mainstream media to be aware of this case.
So one of the efforts is to hold attention of the society in a way, to keep this in discussion, the case and the whole issue of deportation and asylum and migration in the UK of people. And perhaps solidarity is very important for the people who are in this trial, this 15. So what is your organization doing to help the 15, and what can be done?
Well, I think the organisation, the 15 themselves actually really want their case. I mean, of course, personally, they will be concerned about what's happening and wanting solidarity from friends and groups. And I think they've had a good show of people showing that they're with them. But also what they want is us to connect, all of us to connect their case with the wider issue. And so in the UK, just at the time of their case was going on, as we were leading up to their case, there was a hunger strike within Yarlswood Detention Centre, which is a kind of immigration prison which holds mainly women in just not far from London. And the women in there have been waging a hunger strike for a month with basic demands around ending indefinite detention, because the UK is the only country that detains people without time limit, for an end to charter flights, just to prevent the people who have mental ill health being detained, and to end the deportation of people who have children and have been in the UK for over 10 years. So they made some basic demands about dignity and about the desire to end detention themselves in very vulnerable positions. And some of those were threatened with deportation or removed or released in as a way to break the hunger strike. But I think what they want is for us to see the solidarity question as involving them, but also more importantly as involving all of the people who are subject to detention and deportation in England. So that's really been the tone of the organizing.
So it's at least two layers to have the whole issue in public, using this case to point on the migration and the deportation questions. There's one thing that came through our mind when we were talking about the issue of our interview. It was if there is any influence of the whole Brexit issue on this case, of the solidarity, the supporting of it, or whatever, for instance, for the international ways to support the 15.
It's hard to know what impact Brexit has. I mean, so in terms of the climate in the UK, like I mentioned before, it of course brought up some very nasty nationalist and racist sentiments in some of the population and in mainstream politics. But of course, then a lot of people the 48% who didn't want to necessarily leave the European Union or not in this way have also probably been motivated to think more about politics and also about migration. Sometimes that's limited to a European concern for the middle-class European migrants, but other times there's definitely been an increase in how people talk about and are concerned about this issue. So I suppose it fastens on to that wider debate about Britain closing itself off from the rest of the world. But I'm not sure how it affects... Sorry, the second point you were asking was... Remind me of that.
The impact on the opportunities to support the 15s from abroad, so not from UK, but on the international level, in a way.
Yes, it's, it shouldn't have. I mean, we haven't left the European Union. At the moment, it's just a lot of talk. I would recommend that people check out the End Deportations website and see what's going on in the coming months, because it's also a good place to just hear about how people are organising in the UK around the issue of deportation. And this is all pretty new to have so much activity directly focusing on detention and deportation. And I think that's a reflection of how bad the system's got, but also how angry people are about this profound form of violence in our name.
So what we can do at least is to raise attention by using our media to talk about it in the mass media, public of radio, for instance, and to share the content about it. And so to point on the situation you mentioned in our interview. So when does the trial now start? Is the date clear?
I'm not sure. I mean, okay. I don't know what's going on. These kind of cases can be difficult, but it seems that it won't be till later on in the year, perhaps in autumn, fall or winter of 2018. So it will probably fall off the news cycle in terms of the Stansted 15, but I think the issue of deportation and detention won't fall off the radar completely.